It is year end, of course, so we would love to have you commit to either a time fulfillment or a financial pledge that you have made. Or if you want to make a new gift to us, that would be amazing. We need to wrap up our year. We had tremendous demand on our programs this year with the most moms ever. And we run on a very, very small budget. We are small but mighty, which means that we need you and we need new givers all the time so that we can continue to expand our services and start touching more and more lives of single moms here in the Twin Cities. Well, today on the podcast, you will actually be in for a treat with a woman who shepherded me and guided my heart through my lowest valley in the years of my separation and divorce, becoming a single mom. This woman was a rock, her and her husband. I owe so much to them for even being as mentally well as I am now. But in a turn of events, in her own mental shift, she started to identify some of the symptoms she was having, not just thinking she was cranky as a mom or just having a really hard time getting through the days without feeling short, and actually realized it was anxiety. So let's dial in, learn more, and hear Pam's story with anxiety.
These are stories of women, mothers, and enterprises filled with grit, gumption, and overcoming. Where in the midst of adversity, we see her rise up. She makes a choice. She chooses to emerge. I'm your host, Becca Erickson.
Hey, everybody. I'm super excited for this week on the podcast. You know, I've probably wanted to introduce you to this person for all the days of my life. And I'm so glad that now she has just a story to share with you that has some, you know, credibility in emerging and rising up. But this is a dear, dear friend of mine, a lifelong friend, someone who, you know how things come full circle, you guys? This is the person who brought me out of the depths in my divorce and beginning of my single motherhood. So to have her on my podcast is like a long overdue salve to the soul. She and her husband made sure that I was going to rise up and that I wasn't going to sit in ashes. So without further ado, my greatest, great, great, great friend in Ohio, Pam Carlson. Hi, Pam.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm very honored.
Oh my gosh. Stop. I can't even. Can you take our listeners into, you know, the past four decades of your life and kind of what shaped you into who you are?
I think it's crazy that it's not quite four decades. I would just like to state I'm not 40 yet. Yeah, well, I grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago. I'm the oldest of three girls. My grandparents really instilled the importance of faith and family into me. And I really carried that with me. I was really involved in our youth group. And I have lifelong friends that I made there, including my husband, Troy, who is a stone cold fox. We went to Bethel University, which is up in St. Paul, Minnesota. We lived up there for about 5 years after we got married. And then my husband's job transferred us to Cincinnati, Ohio. And here's where we have our kids. And so we have our son, Zachary. He's a first grader. And Sadie is 4 and a half. She's in preschool at our church. And then we have a 2.5-year-old, Ellie.
And you spend most of your time now momming, or what are you up to? I know you were a teacher.
Yes, I was. And when my son was born, the plan was always to go back to work. I don't know if this sounds terrible or not. I wasn't one of those people who was like connected to my children when I was pregnant. I don't know. But once I saw them, then I felt like my heart exploded. And when he was born, I just thought, I can't leave you. And I had a really low paying job where it wouldn't even cover childcare. So it just kind of worked out. It was cheaper for me to stay home. I'm the COO of the Carlson household.
Will you take all of us into the last year now and the last several months? And how the dynamic of being a mom and having your friend groups and your Bible study groups and your husband worked through identifying mental health and just like, where are you? Where are you at?
I struggle with anxiety. I feel like I have struggled with this most of my life, but I would put little labels on it like, oh, well, that was just because of finals, or, oh yeah, I broke down here, but I live in Minnesota and there's like no sun, so I just need some more vitamin D, or, oh, I'm in grad school, that's just stressful, or, oh, I've got babies, I mean, I'm sleep deprived. This is like all moms feel like this. And the anxiety attacks that I was having, which I now know were panic attacks, started to just happen more and more frequently. I felt like this summer is kind of when things started to get pretty bad, where I would be having a panic attack, oh, probably like every other week. And then it was every week. And then it would be like every other day. And I really just thought like, well, I need to get away. I'm at home all day with the kids and, you know, they can be really tough sometimes. And I just need more grown-up interaction. And, you know, like I guess I didn't feel like it was something I needed to work on in my brain. I felt like it was maybe like a heart issue for me. Like, I just need to rest up a little bit, or I need to be more grateful, or I don't know. I didn't know. And, the anxiety really started taking on effects for me physically. So, every single day for like 3 or 4 months, I'm so sorry about the potty talk, but I had diarrhea every single day, and I had a pain in the pit of my stomach, like the lower half of my stomach. I felt bloated every day. I would eat, but it's like I never really felt hungry because I just felt so gross all the time. And when I would have an attack at the time, I didn't know it was a panic attack, but I really thought like I was going to vomit, or I would get tingling up my arms and in my face, up my neck. I would sweat, my hands would be cold, my mouth would get dry, my heart would beat really fast. And then I would just feel the effects of anxiety from that panic attack for the remainder of the day. And I was easily angered, easily irritated, crying all the time. I really just felt like a shell of a person. So I had finally reached out to some close friends of mine, and I just texted them one morning that I was having a particularly hard day. And I said, you know, I am really struggling. I just need you to be praying for me. I'm really having a hard time with my anger and my anxiety today. And so my friend Mo called me and she's like, hey, why don't you come over for lunch? So I came over, I got out of my car, I didn't even close the door, and she was hugging me and I was just bawling, crying. I just couldn't stop crying. And so finally I told her everything that had been going on. And I feel ridiculous even telling you this. And every time I talk about it in counseling, I'm always telling my counselor, like, I feel so dumb that this is what I'm anxious about. But a few years ago, the stomach bug ran through our house. And at first it was my daughter, then my son, then my youngest, and my husband and I, we all got it. And it was just a nightmare. And for someone who is a germaphobe, and we don't have family in town, like I generally feel like I'm doing things on my own. Not that I don't have help from Troy, but given our family dynamic, we really are doing things just Troy and I. And so, you know, like all moms, I just dealt with it. I did a lot of laundry. I Lysoled my house, but I didn't really realize like how traumatic that was for me, because then every time a kid would be like, oh, my stomach hurts, or there'd be like a loose stool, I would immediately go into this tailspin of, oh, it's a stomach bug. It's like run through a house. And so that is really where my anxiety stems from. And I feel stupid saying that, but it is what it is. I mean, we can't really control what we're afraid of, I guess. But so anyway, I told all this to Mo, and Mo had struggled with anxiety in the past before. And she goes, you know, this is anxiety. Like, you don't have a stomach ulcer, or, you know, I mean, like I was going to like weird spots. Like I've got stomach cancer. I don't know. I mean, like I just went off the deep end. And she's like, no, you're experiencing anxiety, and it's gotten so bad that like your body has taken a physical toll on it. I think my anxiety was just so severe at that point that it just had become obvious that I couldn't do this by myself. And so I had scheduled an appointment to see my counselor. And then Troy was out of town one weekend and my anxiety was just rampant. It was so bad. I'm not even sure really how I cared for my kids that weekend. My sister-in-law has been living with us and she has struggled with anxiety as well. So she was here helping me and just like, she's like, Pam, I really just think you need to go to the doctor. And so I was able to get an appointment the next day and I cried through the entire doctor's appointment and just telling her everything. And she like hugged me and she's like, it's okay. You're going to get better. And so she prescribed me Zoloft. I don't personally have a stigma with taking medication. And I like how she described it as well. You know, like if you're a diabetic, you're going to take insulin in order to help you function. If you have high blood pressure, you're going to take blood pressure medication. If you are struggling with anxiety on a daily basis where like you're having panic attacks every day, you need to take something so that you can function during the day. The first 3 weeks of being on the Zoloft were really, really hard because of the side effect of the drug. It made me feel like the effects I have felt from anxiety only worse. So like really bad diarrhea, really bad nausea. I was having panic attacks still every other day. Bible readers, I felt like Psalm 13 really spoke to me. And I just feel like I just kept hanging on to that. Like he is faithful. And mentor moms from my church who would come over and they would sit with me or they would text me and be like, how are you doing today, honey? And I'm praying for you. Or my friends would come alongside me and they'd see me at really ugly times. Or my husband would just hold me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was really powerful. I would have a panic attack and I would go lay on the bed and I would try and do like my breathing exercises. My counselor gave me a lot of really great tools for when I have a panic attack. One of them was like the symptoms you feel when you're having one. And that's how I knew I was having panic attack. I don't know. All that stuff sort of like made me feel more normal. And so Troy would just sit there with me and he would hold me and I would cry and he'd say like, it's going to get better. And I felt like slowly those first 3 weeks, it really felt like I was in the weeds. It really was a nightmare those 3 weeks. But then I started noticing, wow, I have a lot more patience with my kids and they were doing something that normally I would have flown off the handle about. Or, hey, I think I'm feeling happy right now. Yes, I am feeling happy right now. And even Troy was like, I notice a difference in you. And my sister had to have her appendix taken out and then she had complications because it ruptured. Anyway, she couldn't take care of her girls. So I went and helped her take care of the girls. And she and her husband both were like, wow, we've noticed a real difference. And I just felt like, oh, that's so nice. Like both Troy and my sister Laura were like, we feel like the old Pam is back. And it was just, it's nice. And it's not, I've been on the medication now for about 2 months. So, I mean, I'm still like pretty early and I still have anxiety. I just kind of like mark it on my calendar. And then I talk about it with my counselor when I go. I haven't had a panic attack in like 3 weeks, which I feel like is such a huge deal for me. I kind of wanted to talk about this because personally, I guess I don't really feel like there's a stigma with mental health. I think our community in general is doing a really good job of getting it out there. I feel like you can't, like, I guess when I talk about it, I generally end up hearing from someone, oh yeah, I'm on something too. Or, oh yeah, I struggled with this and I had to be on something for a couple years. Or, I mean, it's just becoming more commonplace. But I really wanted to talk about my anxiety because I didn't know I was struggling with it. I was just putting labels on it. So I guess I was hoping that if there's anybody who might be listening who's like, oh yeah, I've been having these physical effects and they might not even be the same symptoms that I had. I mean, anxiety is just a monster and it really can take on a lot of different traits, but I guess I would just encourage those to talk about it with somebody. And then hopefully, you know, if you need to go speak to your doctor about it, like, I would just highly recommend doing that. I felt like there was so much more to life that I just wasn't experiencing. I didn't want my kids to grow up with an angry, bitter mom, and I didn't want to miss out on anything. And I wanted my husband to be married to someone who had joy. Like, I used to be a joyful person and I wasn't.
This gets into lots of interesting questions. So, like, first, like the origin or the ethos of something, like, if your sister and husband say, like, this is back to the old Pam, does it mean that, like, something changed that you got anxiety? Or do you think anxiety is always there from the get-go and it's, like, it sort of has this precipitous event that, like, ignites it or lights it up?
Yes, I think the second. My sister-in-law was saying that her counselor said that sometimes it's just, like, always there, but then there is some event that really just triggers it. I do feel like when I think about myself as a kid, I was always pretty anxious and worried about things. And, you know, like, when we're worried, some of it is valid, but most of it is worrying about something that you don't, that may or may not happen. And yes, I feel like I've always kind of had it, but it just got really out of control. Yeah. And it was taking over my mind instead of me being able to be like, okay, well, I'm acknowledging that I'm feeling worried about this, but it's unlikely this will happen. I was unable to do that when it was really bad.
Well, and like you talked about, you didn't necessarily have the resources to be like, oh yeah, those things are a panic attack. So I was having a panic attack, or, oh yes, now I see that this is anxiety. And so now the more I know about it, the more I can call it the correct thing. You know, it's not seasonal affective. It's not a stomach ulcer. It's not a hard day with the kids. Like, when you have a catalog of hard days with kids, that's 30 days out of 30. You kind of got to wonder if something else is going on.
Absolutely. Especially when, like, you know, I know Troy's not home all the time, but it like the stuff that I was getting bent out of shape about were not the same things that he was. And he was so gracious to, like, I mean, I would fly off the handle and he would think to himself, well, I don't think she's right here, but I think if I intervene, it's going to make it worse. I didn't want my kids to grow up with memories of an angry mom. And, like, anger, what it is, I should say, is kind of my go-to emotion. Whether I'm fearful or anxious about something or frustrated, I just go right to anger. It's just an easy emotion for me to access.
That's super natural, right? I mean, it is the most accessible emotion for anyone, and it's the number one cover up to all the others. That's very legit. I know, and now the listeners hearing some of you know that you're a woman of faith, but are there other things that you could point to that, besides the Zoloft, besides your husband, like, there has to be some sort of deep down resilience or desire to, like, not be an angry mom. Like, what word would you put on it when you hit the very, very rock bottom place of yourself? You said, I was a shell. I wasn't even. What part of you realized, oh my word, I don't want to be this? And what was it that got you out?
It was hope. And I remember I was on my hands and knees in my bedroom, face down, crying out to the Lord. And I just, the word hope kept going through my mind. I had hope that someday this would be fixed. You know, I just kept thinking about how, it talks about how when Jesus comes back and he'll wipe away every tear and there'll be no more pain and no more suffering. And I thought, well, God, I'm going to hang on to that. I really hope it's not, I don't have to wait that long, but I know he's with me and he is faithful. He has been faithful, to me my entire life. Every time I'd had something really hard happened or I felt alone, I wasn't. And now that I can look back and see those markings of his faithfulness, it's a little bit easier for me to find them in the midst of trouble. And so I'm hopeful that I went through this so that maybe I can help somebody else, or maybe I'm being sharpened for something in the future. This hasn't been fun, but it's not been for naught either. I'm not out of the woods yet, so I'm still learning as I'm going through this journey, but I feel like I'm at least I can see the light, which is a breath of fresh air when you've just been suffocating for so long.
Goodness. Yeah. I think hope is a very powerful antidote, at least to seeing that there's meaning in suffering. And I think we're all excited to see how this unfolds more for you and for the effect that it will have on your kids now that you get to be the kind of mom that you want to be.
Absolutely. And then, you know, obviously they're not aware of like medication, but like they know I'm going to counseling. And I think that's great too. Like to just like, hey, we all need a little bit of help organizing our thoughts, trying to break down the stigma of that as well for my kids, because I think counseling it feels good to go to someone and just be able to talk about things in a safe space.
You know, it's the joy of my life. Just the ability to hold so many people's stories for them and know that it's therapeutic and it's a good salve and it's healing. I cannot thank you enough, my friend.
The 2E Emerge podcast is brought to you by Emerge Mothers Academy. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a positive review. A special thanks to our media manager, Laurel Goulson, and to Jessica Manning for our music.